This, of course, is Memorial Day weekend, with tomorrow being Memorial Day. So it's what is known as a holiday weekend, tomorrow being the holiday. And by holiday, we simply mean a day set apart for something specific. Memorial Day, of course, is very simple. It has the word memorial attached to it. So we know that it is a day set apart for memory, for the memory of something. It is a memoriam. It is a secular holiday, yet it does promote a biblical value that is taught throughout Scripture, and that is the importance of remembrance. God often says to us in His Word, remember. From the negative, He says, forget not. And He instituted memorials to help His people remember. You have the Passover, the manna laid up in the Ark of the Covenant, the stones of Ephod, the fringes on the garments of the priest. Remember the 12 stones taken out of the Jordan River. And of course, you have the Lord's Supper. There are many, many others. But the Lord has established memorials so that we can remember. And these memorials speak of the importance of remembrance. God is saying to us, remember to remember. Don't forget to remember. We'd like to read here in Psalm 118, verses 22 through 24. Psalm 118, verses 22 through 24. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This, the stone becoming the headstone of the corner, is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, the main thought of these verses is verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The context of that statement is verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. Now, reference is made to this in Matthew, Book of Acts, 1 Peter. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, these words are directly linked to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The stone which the builders refused has reference to the fact that the Jews saw no beauty or excellence in Christ, that they should build their hopes upon Him. It speaks of the fact that they could not fit Him into their idea of religion. So what did they do? They cast Him away. They crucified Him. But then we read that this same stone, which the builders refused, is become the headstone of the corner. And he's talking about the resurrection. And the Jewish leaders, of course, with their religion, recognized or reckoned Christ to be nothing. But when God raised Him from the dead, God exalted Him. And concerning this, we read in verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. That is, the resurrection, the exaltation of Christ as the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous. That is, it is wonderful and extraordinary in our eyes. And then in direct connection to that, you come to verse 24. This, speaking of something specific, what we've already said, this is the day, talking about the day of resurrection, which the Lord hath made, which the Lord hath set apart, which the Lord hath consecrated. We, who see it as marvelous, will rejoice. That's an activity of exaltation, an activity of delighting and celebrating, and be glad. That's a state of being, being cheerful and overjoyed in it. So from this, we see that the day the Lord arose, and the Bible makes it clear that was the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which is today. The day the Lord arose, Sunday, is a day set apart by the Lord. It is a special day. It is a memoriam. It is a day of rejoicing. It is a day of gladness. So we want to speak this morning on what the day is about must not lose its marvel. What the day is about must not lose its marvel. There, of course, are special days. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day that has been set aside to remember, to reflect upon, to show respect, and to be thankful for those who in the armed services throughout the history of this country have given their lives. That's what the day is for. It is a day set aside where we should thank God for the freedoms and the lifestyle that we enjoy as a result of the supreme sacrifice made by so many for the sake of freedom. It is a day where we are to reflect where we might be were it not for those who gave their lives for the cause of freedom. Since 1775, the beginning of the Revolutionary War, there have been over 1 million soldiers killed, nearly 3 million wounded, and over 40,000 listed as missing. Men and women throughout the history have been willing to go to terrible places, leaving family and friends to protect our liberty and to protect or to give liberty to others. And we know that the freedom that we enjoy has not been cheap. The price of life has been paid. And Memorial Day is a reminder that freedom is not free. Never has been. And it never will be. And when we forget that, we lose our freedom. Freedom must be defended. And if it is not defended, it will be lost. Now, in our day, in our time, so many are of the mindset that what has been is irrelevant to what is now. But I believe that we do well to remember. We do well to reflect and to show respect and to be thankful concerning the sacrifice of fallen soldiers for the cause of freedom. The best memorials. What is the purpose of a memorial? The best memorials are to lift our sights, lift our minds above the moment, in order to focus our intention upon something greater. So the purpose of a memorial is not to drag us into the past and keep us there, but to encourage us for now. So I want you to just think about Memorial Day, how it came about. The Civil War, of course, ended in 1865. Until about 10 years ago, it was gospel that there were 618,222 soldiers killed in the Civil War. By far the greatest toll of any war in American history. But about 10 years ago, historians began combing through digitized census data. And that number has greatly increased. It is now up to about 750,000. So the bloodiest war in United States history. In May, of, again, the Civil War ended in 1865. In May of 1868, it's 3 years later, of course, the grief and the wounds and the loss and the tragedy of the Civil War is still very, very, very real in 1868. With almost every family in the nation having buried someone as a result of the war. It was at that time in 1868 that General John Logan, he was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was an organization of Union veterans. He wrote an order. He said, the 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of the country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard in the land. He called it Decoration Day. On the first Decoration Day, he gave a speech at Arlington Cemetery. About 5,000 people participated in decorating the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried there. The first state to recognize Decoration Day was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all the northern states. The South, however, refused to acknowledge the day. They would honor their dead on separate days. And that continued until after World War I, when the holiday was officially shifted from honoring those fighting in the Civil War to honoring those who died in any war in American history. But it was still referred to as Decoration Day until after World War II. When it became known as Memorial Day. It was declared in 1967 by federal law to be Memorial Day. On June 28, 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Holiday Act, which moved Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, and Veterans Day from their traditional dates to a specified Monday in order to create a convenient three-day weekend for federal employees. So the change moved Memorial Day from its traditional May 30th date to the last Monday in May. That law took effect in 1971. The VFW has pushed for changing the date of Memorial Day back to May 30th. And they came out with this statement in 2002, changing the date to create a three-day weekend has undermined the very meaning of the day. And without a doubt, this has contributed greatly to the general public's nonchalant observance of Memorial Day. Oh, how true. That's very true. That's very accurate. And here we are, when a large portion of our country does not even know what Memorial Day is for. Many will say, well, it's a day for remembering the dead. No, it's not. It's a day for remembering those who died in war. Not just all the dead, but those who gave their life in war. Memorial Day is a day set aside where we are to honor fallen soldiers and to remember the high cost of freedom. But now, for the most part, it is viewed as the beginning of the summer season. It is viewed as school is almost out, or a day off work, a weekend to go camping, a time to grill, a time to spend with family. And the day that was intended to remember soldiers who gave their lives has become something else entirely. History proves that days set aside for specific purposes lose their original significance through time. History proves that. With the real meaning of the day being replaced by the pleasures of man. So that brings us to the Bible. In the Bible, there were days that were set apart for the purpose of remembrance. You had the feast days, and of course, the most significant of all was the Sabbath day. The fourth commandment is concerning the Sabbath day. He says concerning that Sabbath day, remember. That is, retain in your mind. Be mindful of, commit to memory. Take into account the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it separate from all other days. To keep it apart from all other days. To retain its sacredness. Reading the fourth commandment, you will see that it is a day that was blessed by God. It was a day that was set apart by God. And the command was that man keep it that way. Keep the Sabbath day. In this case, was the sixth day in the Old Testament. Keep the Sabbath day the way God intended it. God repeatedly warned Israel against profaning the Sabbath day. And what that means is, profaning simply means making it like all other days. He says, don't do that. Don't make the Sabbath day like all other days of the week. And throughout their history, he charged them with the profaning of the Sabbath. And he spoke in very condemning terms concerning those who contaminated the Sabbath. Those who neglected the day that he set aside for the purpose of worshiping and meditating upon God. The day was not to become something other than what God intended it to be. In Isaiah 58, verse 13, I would encourage you to read that verse. But from that verse, we learn what was common to the other 6 days was to be set aside. Nothing was to interfere with God's special day. They were to remember, and they were to honor God for His work of creation and redemption. Now, coming to the New Testament, and in our text in Psalm 118, God's special day is the day of resurrection, and that is Sunday. And Sunday is the day of days. It is a day exalted among all other days. It is a day to remember Christ. It is a day to remember Christ's work in the redemption of our soul. Again, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And through the years, because of the selfishness of man, what has been set apart to remember is no longer, for the most part. And now you have a generation, probably have several generations, that does not even know what Memorial Day is about. But sadder than that is the fact that the Lord's Day, a day intended to honor God, has become something else entirely. Because of the selfishness and the worldliness of mankind, for decades, the Lord's Day has been spent for everything but what it was intended for. That is one good thing that comes out of this pandemic. Things are closed on the Lord's Day. And they ought to be. But we see the Lord's Day has been through the generations, has been spent for everything but what it was intended for. And now we have a society, we have a culture that does not even know that today, Sunday, is the Lord's Day. If you were to ask most people, or perhaps not most, but many, what does Sunday mean? They would not say it's the Lord's Day. Most do not even know that it's the Lord's Day. They know it's Sunday, but they do not know this is the Lord's Day. This is a day set apart to remember what the Lord has done in saving our souls. So we want to think about the Lord's Day as a day of remembrance. And as we do so, we do not in any way diminish Memorial Day. We do not in any way diminish the sacrifice of men and women who gave their lives in the service of this country and for the cause of freedom. We do not diminish that, but our point is to exalt the one who one day stepped unto the most harsh and brutal battlefield ever and gave his life and rose a victor. Back in Genesis 1, verse 31, we read concerning creation and the state of things that it was very good. It was very good. Everything was bliss. Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. They had complete enjoyment of God. They had complete enjoyment of one another. They had the enjoyment of God's creation. They had everything they needed. Everything was good. But you go over to Genesis chapter 3, and a dramatic change takes place. In Genesis chapter 3, you have record of the day that paradise was attacked. The day that the human race was attacked by an enemy. And throughout the history of the world, there has never been a more cruel, devastating, and far-reaching attack as that day in the Garden of Eden. As a result of this attack, God and man's relationship was severed. As a result of this attack, all of mankind, we're not just talking about hundreds of thousands, all of mankind died a spiritual death. No attack has brought greater loss, no attack has brought greater ruin than the day paradise was attacked. On that day, an avalanche of sin was loosed that would never stop until the final destruction of the universe. It has now been over 6,000 years since that day. And we still see the effects of it. All the problems in the world go back to that day. All that is wrong, all that is evil, all that is immoral, all that is incomplete, all that is decaying and goes back to that day. All failure, all disappointment, all weakness, all sadness, all sorrow, all pain goes back to that day. All trouble and all discomfort and all conflicts, all hate, all jealousy, all bitterness, all vengeance, all fear, all crime, it all goes back to that day. All the selfishness, all the confusion, all the lies, all the deception, all the error, all the manipulation, all death. It all goes back to that day. For over 6,000 years, the world has reaped the results of that day. The results of that attack. But one glorious day, God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, who is God Himself. And He voluntarily left the glory and the adoration and the majesties and the riches and the praises of heaven. And He left all of that for the most gruesome, horrific battlefield of all. He left all for a fallen, guilty and perishing world. He left it all for a world that did not know Him. He left the peace. He left the joy. He left the purity of heaven. And He came to a world filled with confusion, filled with conflict, filled with struggle, filled with disappointment as a result of this attack, filled with fear and sorrow and failure, filled with lust and selfishness and pride and covetousness and disobedience, filled with abomination, filled with miseries, and He came here to fight the most fierce war ever fought. A war against sin. A war against the forces of hell. The most wicked, the most monstrous, detestable, despicable, and horrific enemy of mankind. He came to fight that war. And the mission was this: to save His people from their sins. And in order to do that, He came to this battlefield to fight this war. He came to the battlefield to rescue His people from their sins. He came to set free His people from the awful bondage that they were in. He came to spare them of the condemnation that hung over their heads, bringing them to a place of reconciliation and peace. And God gave His Son, His beloved Son, His only begotten Son, the Son in whom He was well pleased, His dear and holy Son. And He did so willingly and graciously. And Jesus Christ, out of love for me, came. God, out of love for me, spared not His Son. Jesus comes, and we hear Him say in John 10, verse 15, I laid down my life for the sheep. And that included me. That included me. Jesus Christ, God in a body of human flesh, the Holy One, the pure One, the perfect One, willingly came to this battlefield of the world. He fought a war. on behalf of the guilty. He didn't fight a war on the behalf of his friends. He didn't fight a war on the behalf of his allies. No, he came to fight a war on the behalf of his enemies. He came to fight a war on the behalf of the ungodly. And he willingly, and out of love, took my sins upon himself. And with those sins upon him, he endured the battle. He endured many a battle, but he endured the battle of Gethsemane. He endured the loneliness of the apostles forsaking him and fleeing. And he went to Golgotha, the battlefield of Golgotha. It was a place of punishment. It was a place of suffering. It was a place of torture for guilty criminals. And Jesus Christ, with my sins upon him, willingly and out of love for me, went to that place of misery. Went to that place of distress and sorrow. And out of love, he goes to this place of execution. This place of condemnation, curse, and death. And for me, he bore all the indignity and disgrace of my sin. And there, on that battlefield, and oh, what a battlefield it was, Golgotha. There on that battlefield, he laid down his life for me. He died the death of a criminal for me. Never. Again, we don't say this to diminish wars, but never has a war been fought at a greater cost or greater sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the greatest sacrifice ever made. So he dies upon that cross. He laid down his life upon that cross. And as the enemies of Christ view that bruised and mangled and lifeless body, they were certain that they had defeated him. And when his body was wrapped in that winding sheet and put in that dark and gloomy tomb, they were certain, we have done away with Jesus Christ. But this is no fallen soldier. Jesus Christ is no fallen soldier. Even when he was in that tomb for 3 days and three nights, this is not a fallen soldier. And after 3 days and three nights, Sunday came. Sunday came. And the one who laid down his life for me came forth from that tomb. And Satan is a defeated foe. 3 days and three nights. And Sunday came. And the one who laid down his life for me came out of that tomb victorious over the greatest enemy of mankind, sin. 3 days and three nights. But Sunday came. And the one who laid down his life came forth victorious over the death and the grave. And today, Jesus Christ is a living, conquering Savior. As a result, I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. The one who was refused by man is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous, wonderful, and extraordinary in our eyes. Sunday came, and to this day, every single Sunday, every time Sunday comes, it is a day of memorial. It is a day that we should rejoice and be glad in. It is the day that Jesus Christ stepped forth from the tomb. Jesus Christ fought the most fierce war ever fought. And He did so for me. He defeated the greatest enemy known to man. And He did so for me. He gave all. He gave all. And throughout the history of the world, never has there been a war fought with greater love than this one. For out of love for my soul, He came and fought this war. And today, He lives. This is no fallen soldier. You can't go and visit His grave. He's not there. This is not a defeated soldier. This is not a defeated individual. Jesus Christ came forth victoriously. And God has set apart a day, Sunday, to commemorate what Jesus has done. And it is a day above all days. It is the day of days. And you and I are to rejoice in it. We are to be glad in it. It is a day of celebration. It is a day in which that which is common to the other 6 days of the week are to be set aside. This day is never to become a common day. Everything common to the other days is to be set aside. This is the Lord's day. And we are to keep it that way. We must never forget. This is the Lord's day. Again, people forget what special days are for. And through selfishness, they use those days for anything but what it was intended for. And that's how it is with the Lord's Day. People use the Lord's Day to do things it was never intended for. The Lord's Day was not intended for you to mow your lawn. The Lord's Day was not intended for you to clean your gutters. The Lord's Day was a day set apart for you to come aside and worship the one who saved your soul. It is to be kept separate. It is to be kept separate. A day in which we remember and honor the Lord, His work for us. Someone will say, well, I believe every day we ought to do that. Yes, we ought to. But there's a day set aside. There's a day set aside by God. And we're to rejoice and be glad in it. And what the day is, what the day is about, must not lose its marvel. And how sad it is when that day, for many of God's people have lost its marvel. And even the churches of Lord Jesus Christ, this would be another message, have contributed to this day losing its marvel. We must not allow our own selfish pleasures and the pressures and the influence of the world make this a common day. To say, well, everybody else does it. I'm sorry, that doesn't fly. We're to keep this day special. It's Lord's Day. And it's a day we ought to look forward to all week long. The Lord's Day. It's not a day we should dread. It's a day that we should rejoice and be glad in. The Lord's Day. Sunday is here. And we are to come together in unity as the redeemed of the Lord. We are to come together as the redeemed of the Lord. We are to come with our offerings of praise and thanksgiving to honor Him. Again, we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day of special mood. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day of a special spirit. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We don't expect the world to understand the significance of Sunday. But certainly God's people ought to understand the significance of this day, the Lord's Day. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. It is a day of delight. It is a day of happiness. It is a day of thanksgiving. Oh, that we would never, ever, ever lose the marvel of what this day, Sunday, commemorates. It saddens me when God's people, and I suppose we all do it to some degree, abuse the Lord's Day and see nothing wrong with it. It's a special day. Every Sunday is a memorial of what Jesus has done for me. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, in closing, all the best memorials lift our hearts above the moment to something greater. Every Sunday, our hearts ought to be lifted above whatever else is going on, to something greater. What Jesus has done for me. And every Sunday, our hearts are to be lifted above the things of the world to Him. And it is to provide us with encouragement to go on until the next Sunday comes and we gather together. We must never, ever forget the importance, the significance of the Lord's Day. You must teach your children, and this has been a great failure. Teach your children the significance. This is the Lord's Day. We don't do what we do every other day of the week. And it's not just different because we go to church on this day. That should not be the only difference. This is the Lord's Day. And we want to think upon Him. Remember what the day is. What was done on this day for you and I, the saved. So yes, tomorrow is a holiday, a day set aside. to remember. And by just looking at holidays, and by holidays we don't mean holy day, just a day set apart. Just looking at the history of holidays, take whatever holiday you want to take. They lose their significance through the years. People forget what the day was intended for. May we never forget what Sunday is about. May we never lose the marvel of what it's about. I thank God for every day that God gives me. But I thank God especially for the Sundays that the Lord has allowed me since I've been saved to be in His house and to think upon the Lord. Let's look to Him and